The Department of Justice is not willing to fork over audio recordings of, well, Joe Biden's interview with Special Prosecutor Robert Hur. They're citing that it's going to be potentially interfering in any future investigations that go on. Now, the interesting part in all of this, folks, we talked about it on this show before. You're very well versed in all of this. You guys know that, well, Robert Hur isn't prosecuting Joe Biden or referring him to be prosecuted because, well, he's too senile. That's just really how this all plays out these days. But he's capable of running for president still, folks, so don't be discouraged. Joining us right now to discuss all of this is Congressman Jim Jordan. As many of you know, he's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Chairman, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
What was you got this letter yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's so disheartening. But ultimately, they're citing what they always say. And they're saying there might be future investigations. Yeah. And that's how they get their all way out of everything.
Investigation or soon to be investigation.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your reaction to that?
I think we just got to go back to the facts. I mean, the facts are, as pointed out in Mr. Hur's report, the facts are Joe Biden knowingly knew the rules. He'd been in the Senate 50 years. He was vice president, he had a daily briefing. He knew the law relative to handling classified information. So Joe Biden knowingly kept classified information and disclosed it. That's a problem. You're not allowed to do that. His motive, I think, was pointed out on page 231, of Mr. Hur's report. He said Joe Biden had strong motivations for ignoring classified procedures because he was writing a book. And he got an $8 million advance for that book. So Joe Biden had 8 million reasons to not follow the law. So we have motive. We have the elements of the crime met. But because he's a forgetful old man, we're not going to recommend charges be brought. Okay, that's where you're at. But if you're not going to recommend charges be brought because, even though you have motive, even though he met the elements of the crime, because he's a forgetful old man, then we'd kind of like to evaluate that. What was the basis of that? And they said it was based on the interview. So we're asking for the audio tape, not just because, as part of our constitutional duty to understand and do oversight of the executive branch, but maybe more importantly, so the American people can evaluate, fully evaluate, and have all the facts at their disposal on who they decide should be our next commander in chief in the upcoming election.
Well, I think that's important too. And you have so many people who are upset because, well, for the same situation, you know, President Donald Trump is being prosecuted for it, but he actually had the authority to do stuff like this to declassify information.
Great point.
And that's the problem here. So many Americans are fed up with this. When they sit there and they look at this, they're tired of this two-tier justice system that goes on. The Department of Justice is extremely biased these days, and many of us know it. And so getting the audio is important because, well, we've read the transcript. It's deeply concerning for any American. I mean, we are deeply concerned about the president of the United States, whether he's capable of even running the country right now.
You make a great point, too. Think about in the last three presidential elections. So that you had 16, 20 in the upcoming 2024. Only three names have been on the ballot. I mean, for the two major parties, it was Trump, Clinton, and then President Trump against President Biden. And now it's going to be, of course, President Biden against President Trump. All three, there have been allegations and in case of President Trump, actual charges. But they've all had concerns with how they've handled classified information. But only one got prosecuted. Only one got charged. And oh, by the way, as you point out, the one who got charged was the one who was actually president at the time that he was handling the classified information. And of course, the president, as head of the executive branch, has ultimate authority on determining what's classified, what's not. So that to me, I think, is just underscores how important this all is. And again, as you point out, shows this double standard.
It's discouraging. I know so many Americans are watching, especially because we see the DOJ going out specifically again for J6ers who were nonviolent that day. They're prosecuting them. But BLM protesters from the Summer of Love aren't being met with the same level of prosecution that they are. So it's just it keeps reminding Americans that there is a two-tier system in this country. I want to get to something that's really important that's on the minds of a lot of Americans as well, FISA.
Yep.
You guys are expecting the House to potentially vote on a warrant amendment, is what we're being told. And there was this just jaw-dropping report that came out of Politico, which had me floored. I didn't actually think it was legit. But apparently they're reporting that Speaker Mike Johnson actually might not support the warrant amendment. Yeah. So he might just continue going forward with FISA without a warrant, which is interesting in itself. What's your reaction to? Because we reached out to his office for comment. I haven't heard back through emails or phone calls. Yeah. So what's your reaction on this?
So understanding FISA, there are two elements to FISA. There's what we kind of call traditional FISA, where that process was, of course, abused back when they spied on President Trump's campaign. That's when you actually go to a court, do get a warrant to go spy. But what they took to the court was not accurate information. They didn't tell the court fully what was going on. One individual actually lied to the court. And of course, they spied on President Trump. So there's some reform processes to that element of FISA. In the base legislation that will be in front of the House this week. There's a second program called the 702 program, which is where they surveil foreigners, but a bunch of Americans get picked up in this. And there's this huge database of information. And right now, what can happen is if the FBI wants to search that database and they want to use Brianna's phone number or your email address, they can just do that. And what we're saying is no. In this big database of information that keeps growing, if you're going to go search an American, search their information, you should go to a court and get a warrant. That's how our system works. You can't just have one branch of government doing that without a separate and equal branch of government signing off on it. And it's that fundamental fact. And so that's what we're trying to get now. To your question, I think the speaker is actually going to oppose that concept. It was in the underlying bill that came out of Judiciary, which, by the way, passed 35-2. And it was something that Mike Johnson supported in the past, but right now it looks like the speaker's not going to support it.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a constitutional attorney as well. And we were very hopeful when he took over as speaker. I think a lot of Americans were hopeful and they thought that we'd get a lot of these issues resolved. There seems to be a lot of things that are taking place right now that don't seem to be in character with the man that we've known for so long now. Are you a little concerned that he might be kind of taking the wrong path on all of these issues?
Well, Mike's a friend and he's a good man, wonderful yeah. family, Christian man. Him and Kelly are friends with Polly and I. Yeah. And it's a tough job with a small majority. I get all that. I understand all that. And you know, God bless him. But look, I disagreed with the spending bill that happened a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. My biggest problem with that spending bill was sort of in the same area. There were all kinds of earmarks and things that I didn't like and the woke stuff and all this.
Yeah.
But the part that bothered me the most, to be honest, $200 million additional dollars for an FBI headquarters in Maryland. Mm-hmm. Like, the same FBI that, and this is why you got to back to the Warren issue. The same FBI that spied on President Trump's campaign, the same FBI that said, oh, we need to investigate parents showing up at school board meetings, the same FBI who said, if you're a pro-life Catholic, you're an extremist. And the same FBI who retaliated against whistleblowers that came and talked to our committee about these concerns. That's the FBI that you're giving a $200 million to for a new headquarters. And that's the FBI that you don't want to require a warrant before they go search this database. I don't think so. So that's the part that bothered me. I understand it's a tough job. And, you know, we're trying to be helpful to the speaker in every way we can.
Yeah. I agree with that. You know, we just actually, and it's so funny that you brought up the FBI whistleblowers, because we just actually had Steve Friend and Garrett O'Boyle in here and we spoke with them and, you know, they gave us their opinions on FISA, obviously, but Garrett is somebody who I've spoken to for quite some time now, yeah. And he did a great job testifying. I think it's over 10 months ago.
And also he testified in front of our committee last year and him and Steven knocked it out of the park, did a great job.
And you would think, so after he gives his testimony, you'd think the FBI would, you know, back off and leave him alone. I actually had him on the show the other day, a couple of weeks ago, actually. And he was forced to pay a bill. Now, as you recall, he was forced to move for his job. Yep. He didn't realize it until he got to his new location. They told him he was being put on unpaid leave. And he's a man with a family, children. It's such egregious behavior.
Couldn't get his stuff. Had to pay to get his belongings when he has children, young children. It was like, yeah, just wrong. Just wrong.
And they just hit him with the $3,000 bill that he had to pay just in a couple of weeks ago as well. And it just keeps adding up for him. He's someone who right now, guys, we've spoken about him on our show, over 19 months now without pay. Yeah. And it's egregious, but it's a strategy that they use often. They use often to go after whistleblowers. They'll put you on this suspended unpaid leave situation that you have going on. So he's still employed by the FBI. He can't seek employment elsewhere, but he's stuck in this position. Would you potentially support like a whistleblower amendment that would block agencies like this from?
Well, the first thing they typically do is take away their clearance.
Yeah.
And then they'll some of the other things that you've talked about. I think it was Stephen Friend, one of them, just wanted to get his access to his firearm certification so he could go get like employment in a security to take care of his family and you know get income. And they kept that from him as well. So, it's we have whistleblower protection legislation that was introduced. That it's Nick Langworthy introduced it, I believe, I think last week or 2 weeks ago when we were here. That would work on safeguards and handling the way whistleblowers come forward, giving them better protections.
Yeah. Now, would it offer them an option that the agencies still have to continue to pay them, that they can't just put them on this unpaid?
I got to go back and look at the legislation, but one of our colleagues has worked with our staff on judiciary and others, and we put this legislation again.
Yeah, because I think it's so important, because he's struggling right now. So many Americans are these days. But I mean, to be put on unpaid leave and then just kind of have to sit here and wait, I've seen it happen before. It could take years for this whole situation to kind of settle down. Yeah. So it's very, very unfortunate for him. We do hope that something could happen. What right now can the Judiciary Committee do? Because this is our theme of our show today, right? The weaponization of our federal government. So what right now can you do as chairman to kind of push back and to make sure that the government stops going after Americans and targeting them?
Keep doing oversight. I mean, sometimes just the fact that you raise the issue, you do it because you want to look at legislative remedies, or you want to deal maybe with the funding issue. Mm-hmm. But just doing the oversight can make a huge difference. I'll give you two quick examples. One is, if you remember a year and a half ago, the Department of Homeland Security was setting up the Disinformation Governance Board.
Yes.
Remember the speech patrol out there, as if some bureaucrats are going to tell you what you're allowed to say, what you're not allowed. It's just crazy. And we, and folks like you on the out, we all made a big issue of this. And suddenly they go, well, shazam, maybe we'll stop doing that, because they realize this is a total attack on the First Amendment. Yeah. Second example is the IRS announced last year that they will no longer be making unannounced visits to American citizens' homes. And the commissioner of the IRS said, we are doing this for the safety of our agents. Baloney. They're doing it because we caught them knocking on Matt Taibbi's door when he was testifying in front of our committee. You know, no one thinks that was just accident that the IRS was knocking at that very moment when he's testifying. So those are some examples where, just by highlighting this, earlier today, I was in a deposition with an FBI agent who was involved with Bank of America when Bank of America sent the information regarding their customers' data, gave it to the government days they were in D.C., We continue to do that oversight work, and sometimes that in and of itself changes how things happen.
It's disturbing in itself. I think a lot of Americans are upset. I mean, I had a former FBI supervisor call me and give me a story about his time at the agency and what he witnessed. He just simply wanted to inquire about election fraud, and they were getting tips and he wanted to investigate it. And by simply putting that in an email, he was forced out the door, but he was refusing to come forward and put his face on it because he's afraid of what the agency is going to do to him. Is there anything that could be done right now to help other people who are considering, maybe FBI agents who are currently serving right now, who are considering coming forward as whistleblowers, anything that could kind of assure them that they will be protected?
Well, we will keep them confidential if they come forward. We work with the agents, whether they're in the FBI or Mr. Shapley and Mr. Ziegler, who came forward from the IRS, and they've been tremendous as well. Yeah. I always say their testimony has stood up to cross-examination. Their story has not changed, has not wavered, because they're telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Unlike the White House. Yeah. Unlike the Justice Department, and frankly, unlike the Bidens about the whole Hunter Biden investigation. So we will work with them and help them in any way we can. And we even have this legislation, which is designed to provide greater safeguards and strength to the current whistleblower statute.
Thank you, Chairman Jim Jordan, for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend, Dr. Kirk Elliott, because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure. And he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. And you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. I want to tell you guys about my friend Allie. Allie is always complaining about her feet hurting because she's always in heels and working on them. And so I gifted her the new My Slippers 2.0. And let me tell you something, guys, it's been a complete game changer for Allie. You see, Allie tells me now it feels like she's walking on clouds because these slippers are so soft and the cushioning on them is perfect. She is so happy with her new My Slippers 2.0 that she's bragging about it to everyone. And, well, if you go on MyPillow.com right now, you'll notice that everyone's talking about these slippers.
They're incredible. So right now you have to head over to MyPillow.com and secure your slippers right now. Now, if you want to save up to 66% off, you got to do it by using promo code Brianna. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A. Again, make sure you're using promo code Brianna if you want to secure your 66% off, and get them now before they sell out.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my new product from MyPillow. Towels that actually work. Watch this absorbency test. Here's another towel that we randomly went out and bought. Here's one of my towels with the nice design. I don't know if you can see this, but you could line a swimming pool with this. I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it. Towels that actually work. What a concept. I'm interrupting this commercial to let you know you can get our six-piece My Towels, regular $69.98, now only $29.98. Or you can save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Also, we have bath sheets, bath towels, washcloths, hand towels, and so much more. And the best part, with your promo code, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all My Towels. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.